The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionix, creators of Phonebox and Oasis. Welcome to the social studio.
Thanks for connecting with Radio Today's weekly podcast. I'm Trevor Dan, and this week we're focusing on the launch of BBC Music. It's the new multimedia brand that's designed to make the corporation's music output rank alongside BBC News, BBC Sport, and the newly launched BBC Arts. At a lavish and, shall we say, exhaustive presentation in Broadcasting House on Monday, Director General Tony Hall unveiled the BBC Music Awards, a new production by Radios 1 and 2 and TV's The One Show. The first one will take place at Earl's Court in December. There's also a campaign to take music to primary schools called 10 Pieces. But most of what was announced was the corralling of existing BBC initiatives from Live Lounge to Glastonbury to the Proms inside the new BBC Music tent. Now, some of us with long memories will recall previous attempts to persuade TV, radio and online producers to work together, but this time there does seem to be some real commitment from all sides to make it happen. So what will it all mean to radio? I caught up with the newly appointed director of BBC Music, Bob Shannon, who's added this new role to his existing portfolio of controller, Radios 2, 6 Music and Asian Network.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionix.
Another job, Bob.
Another job. It's a good one, isn't it?
It's a good one, yeah.
It's one of those that you kind of think, surely the BBC's done this before. But actually, making the most of the sum of the parts is something I think we probably have failed to do very well at all in our 90-something years of history. And the whole theme, really, of today is about the team of the BBC and what we might be able to achieve by bringing it together and working across BBC spaces in a way we haven't done before.
In my own time, trying to make radio and television people work together did prove something of a challenge. Do you think those problems have gone away now?
I think I recall the similar sorts of challenge at the same sort of time in my working life when radio and television really had very little to do with one another. I think we've all moved on an awful lot. I think we know our audiences are living in a world which enables them to consume radio and television and from the internet and any connected device in a way that, frankly, they expect much more collaboration and communication. So I think things have got a huge amount better. And some of the most exciting things about developing the plans that we've outlined today has been getting those brains in the same room and seeing the way that when they work together they can come up with really great initiatives and exciting initiatives and things that will have impact. Because this is all about saying we do music well in the BBC, but we could make it more fundamental to the BBC. We don't have to do a lot more stuff. We do lots of stuff. But what we do, we can have a far greater impact with by joining up and serve our audiences better at a time when they have more choices than they've ever had before.
I understand what's in it for the BBC because it's clearly going to make you more effective. It also makes you more competitive. If you want to go out there and get that big act or that big concert, because you are radio and television and online working together, you're more likely to get it than perhaps some of the commercial competition. But what's in it for the radio listener? You know, you're also the controller of Radio 2. What's in it for somebody who thinks that the brand that they interact with isn't BBC Music, but is in fact BBC Radio 2?
But I don't think one needs to be substitutional for the other. And if I did, I'd have been far less convinced by the importance of BBC Music going forward. I think it's probably one of the reasons why the fear of that is one of the reasons why it hasn't happened before. But I don't think this is substitutional. I think this is purely additive to the experience that people get that they love about Radio 2 in particular, which has more listening than any other radio station. So I don't think we'll take anything away from that. I hope we'll create an experience for the audience that is holistic from the BBC that supports and complements the radio listening experience. I think this is good for the BBC. I think it's good for our audiences. I think we can create new formats and new content which they'll love by bringing together our different platforms. I don't think we take anything away from our existing services. I think it's good for the kind of creative health of Music UK as well.
You were talking about the mixture of radio and television and online, and Alan Yentob was just saying to me that those divisions are now more porous than ever, which I thought was a good word. Do you think that's going to happen also in skills? You know, are we going to train, or are we already training, a generation of producers and technical people who will work in radio and television and online and think nothing of those old-fashioned silos?
I think so. I mean, I think the online part is particularly critical in what you just described. There are clearly specialist skills in audio production and specialist skills in television production, and we should celebrate those specialisms. That they'll always be there. There are also some brilliant specialists in the online environment. They're the troubleshooters of today who are leading the way for all of us. But I think also amongst the mass production base within the BBC and other organisations, there'll be a natural feeding of different platforms by individuals across a skill base, because they'll just expect to work in the online and the visual environment as well as the TV environment. You look what is happening particularly at Radio 1 at the moment, and that in a sense is a microcosm of everything you've just described. Not everybody does everything, but more people do than ever before, and the expectation that people will have a wide range of different skills has been heightened, and it will become the norm.
What are you going to do to make sure that there is still some power, some influence, some creative space for the people at the bottom of this massive great tree that's now got another overarching branch, which, if I may say so, is you?
Thank you, Trevor. I think the first thing to say is that the things we've talked about today are merely the beginning. It is not the end of the process. We're not trying to say, here's the answer, and we've just unveiled it. What we're saying is, here's the indicative direction of travel for the BBC in music, and here are some landmarks on the way to that. Actually, I think there's a really exciting opportunity for people who work in music making in the BBC to develop skills and seed ideas that they cannot do if they just work in Radio 3 production or in the television music department. And we will create effectively this kind of virtual music team from people right across the BBC. And I've talked to them about this music strategy, from Scotland to Salford to Wales, Northern Ireland, all the London departments, Radio 1, One Extra, Six Music, the lot. And I think pretty much everybody has been quite excited by the prospect of feeling part of a music family, as well as a television family, or as well as a radio family, or as well as a BBC Scotland family. You can actually have both. It's okay. And that should enable people, over a period of time, to start to develop ideas which we can shape and hone and bring to the fore. Not all of them, but I think it's another example of a space in which hopefully people will get the chance to thrive even more rather than less.
One last question. I know you've got to go and mingle, but is there any space for the independent sector in this vision?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And I think it was really important that in this presentation there were a couple of nods to the importance of the independent sector in what the BBC already achieves. What Radio 2, for example, achieves is built on some phenomenally successful and important independent productions who help provide that kind of creative shot in the arm for all of our networks, and would definitely be a part of our thinking about music across the BBC going forward.
Thank you, Bob. You're going to have a lot of concerts to go to, aren't you, in the next year or two?
Well, beats working, doesn't it?
Broadcast Bionics, creators of Phonebox and Oasis, offer you elegantly integrated products and intelligent one-stop shopping for all your studio needs. Discover a full range of innovative studio products. Play out by Wide Orbit, Music Master Scheduling, Stirlitz, Newsboss, Larvo, Telos, Axia, Omnia, Digigram and Commotion. Visit bionics.co.uk today.
Our thanks to Bob Shannon. Good luck to everyone involved with BBC Music. This week's news now on the Radio Today programme from Roy Martin.
The Radio Academy is once again without a chief executive after Paul Robinson resigned just 10 months into the job. He'll be concentrating on his own businesses from now on. Absolute 80s has picked up the award for Best Digital Radio Station at the Freesat Awards this week. Five Live also won Best News Channel, beating a long list of television stations. And Radio Wave in Blackpool is doing something a little bit different this week to help the local unemployed by putting them on the air to talk about themselves and show potential employers what they can do. Sounds good? Read more about this and the rest of this week's news at radiotoday.co.uk. That's the very latest. I'm Roy Martin.
Thank you, Roy. And before Radio Moments, here's something I'd like to share with you. James Robertson is a Scottish writer and publisher. I'm guessing he'll be voting yes in the forthcoming referendum. But whichever side of that argument you might be on, I think you'll find this funny. Here's James Robertson on that irritating little TV phrase, and now the news where you are.
That's all from us. Now it's time for the news where you are. The news where you are comes after the news where we are. The news where we are is the news. It comes first. The news where you are is the news where you are. It comes after. We do not have the news where you are. The news where you are may be news to you, but it is not news to us. The news may be international, national, or regional. The news where you are may be national news or regional news. However, national news where you are is not national news where we are. It is the news where you are. If the news where you are is national news, it is only national where you are. The news where we are is national wherever you are. On Saturdays, there is no news where you are. In fact, there is no news where you are on Saturdays. Any news there is not where you are. It is where we are. If there is news where you are, but not where we are, it will wait until Sunday. After the news where you are comes the weather. The weather where you are is not the weather where you are comes after the news where you are, and after the weather where you are comes the national weather. Do not confuse the national weather with the weather where you are. The weather where you are comes first, but is lesser weather than the national weather. Extreme weather is news. However, weather that is more extreme where you are than where we are is not news. Weather that is extreme where we are is news, even if extreme weather where we are is only average weather where you are. Tough shit.
James Robertson. And now the news where we were with David Lloyd.
100 years of radio from the Val.
Not many commercial radio presenters last more than 10 years on the same station. This chap did, moving on exactly a year ago after 15 years.
Right, it's come to that point where I have to say au revoir, goodbye, whatever you care to call it. I've had a blast here at Capital. Before that, I was around for a few years. It's been an absolute delight. I'd just like to thank everybody here at Capital. You've been fantastic. Absolutely fantastic, but every chapter has to end.
The last words from Twiggy, who've been with the award-winning Joe and Twiggy on Trent in Nottingham. And then he was with Emma until he walked off the station by then Capital. This week, last year, he'd been on Breakfast for 14 of those years. Another gentleman died this week in 1969, Harry Roberts. He of Roberts Radio fame, described as one of the gentlemen of the radio trade. His approach from the beginning was for limited, unusual radio sets, and those early days saw loads of interesting designs with leathern coloured cloth, and there was even a gold-plated model. The company was launched from the funds of selling a motorbike. Its ethos remains to this day, and the company's in South Yorkshire now, isn't it? The Archers is the soap which so many radio people secretly would love to appear in. Chris Moyles did this week, 10 years ago.
Hey, yes, sir. Lovely evening. What can I get you?
Shires, is it?
That's it, yes. Local speciality.
Right. Pint, in fact.
I'd just love to see The Archers being recorded, let alone appear in it. Chris Moyles on The Archers, briefly, this week in 2004.
Vous allez entendre maintenant une déclaration de la plus grande importance.
An historic broadcast was made this week 74 years ago, and one which proved, if proof were needed, the worth of words and of radio. On the 18th of June 1940, Charles de Gaulle, then just a general in the French army, made a speech from London which was broadcast by the BBC to Europe. It urged the people of France not to capitulate. But as with so many key broadcasts over the years, it wasn't recorded. BBC archivist Marie Slocum.
Nobody knew he was going to do it. It wasn't recorded. I gather he came along and he was met by a producer from Bush House, and he jotted down some notes on the back of a menu card over a meal and rushed into Bush House and did this first broadcast. We got the second, but we didn't get the very first of all.
Marie Slocum. 1982, this week another BBC local station arrived.
On 1107 kilohertz, that's 271 metres in the medium wave and 96.6 stereo VHF. Welcome to BBC Radio Northampton. And on this first morning, June the 16th, 1982, Radio Northampton begins its service by inviting you to start the day with John Bynan.
Very good morning to you. Welcome to Start the Day here on BBC Northampton.
I think it's high time all radio shows had a sig tune again. It should be European law, shouldn't it? The launch of BBC Northampton 34 years ago. And who was that first newsreader again?
It's 7 o'clock. This is Roger Mosey. Good morning. The headlines this Wednesday, the 16th of June.
Ah, thank you, Roger. Lord Reith was the first Director General of the BBC. He died this week in 1971. His PA was Dorothy Torrey.
Soon after I joined, he went on a cruise with Montague Norman, the Governor of the Bank of England, without Lady Reith. And when he came back, he was emancipated. He started to say, I never knew life was for living. And he started not drinking a lot, but allowing alcohol on the premises.
Dorothy Torrey on Lord Reith, who died this week 43 years ago. This week, 2 years ago, there was a dramatisation of James Joyce's Ulysses on BBC Radio 4 in 7 parts, and that was to mark Bloomsday. And suitably, across in Ireland 32 years ago, RTE Radio commemorated the anniversary with an uninterrupted reading. It lasted 29 hours and 45 minutes.
But I think the greatest tribute of all, and I think that Joyce would have appreciated, was from a man named Jean Villy, who listened for the whole 30 hours, sustained by only coffee and Coca-Cola, and who has since written a book. And what he has done, he has written in English and German the thoughts that ran through his mind during this 30 hours.
Impressive stuff. With DAB stations coming and going, sometimes launches nowadays aren't quite the occasions they used to be. But that wasn't the case with this station a year ago this week.
It Couldn't Be Done by Edgar Albert Guest. Somebody said that it couldn't be done. But he, with a chuckle, replied that maybe it couldn't, but he'd be the one who wouldn't say so till he tried. So he buckled right in with the trace of a grin on his face.
So with EMAP buying Melody, now Magic, this week 16 years ago.
And you're listening to London's Lighter Touch, Melody FM.
The first Wimbledon coverage 87 years ago.
Oh, my God,
Hit 40 UK becoming the big top 40 5 years ago.
The chart you can change.
And the first live public entertainment broadcast 94 years ago. Those are this week's Radio Moments.
Radio Moments.
Good stuff as ever from David Lloyd. Thanks for listening. Do give me a shout if you've got any comments about the podcast or if you'd like to contribute to it. I'm Trevor at trevordan.com. Next week we'll be hearing from those sound women. This has been a TDC production. Ta-da!
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics.